The Sixth Man by David Baldacci. Read by Ron McLarty with Orla Cassidy.
To David Young and Jamie Rabb, the dynamic duo of publishing, and my friends. The only thing potentially worse than not being able to see the forest for the trees is not being able to see the trees because of the forest. Anonymous. Prologue.
Make it stop!
The man hunched over the cold metal table, his body curled tight, eyes screwed shut, his voice cracking. He sucked in each breath and let it out like it would be his last. Through headphones, a fast blast of words filled his ear canals and then flooded his brain. An array of sensors was strapped into a heavy cloth harness that was buckled over his torso. He also wore a cap with electrodes attached that measured his brain waves. The room was brightly lit. With each bite of audio and broadside of video, his body clenched as though staggered by a shot delivered by the heavyweight champ. He started weeping. In an adjacent and darkened room, a small group of stunned men watched this scene through a one-way mirror. On the wall inside the room with the sobbing man, the screen was 8 feet wide and 6 feet tall. It seemed perfectly designed for watching NFL football. However, the digital images racing across its face were not huge men in uniform knocking brain cells out of each other. This was top secret data to which very few people in the government would be privy. Collectively, and to the experienced eye, they were stunning in revealing the clandestine activities going on around the globe. There were crystal-clear pictures of suspicious troop movements in Korea along the 38th parallel. Satellite images of construction projects in Iran showing underground missile silos that looked like huge pencil holders carved in the dirt, along with boiling thermal silhouettes of a working nuclear reactor. In Pakistan, high-altitude surveillance photos of the aftermath of a terrorist explosion at a market where vegetables and body parts held equal sections of the ground. In Russia, there was real-time video of a caravan of military trucks on a mission that might push the world into another global war. From India flowed data on a terrorist cell planning simultaneous hits on sensitive targets in an effort to promote regional unrest. In New York City, incriminating photos of a major political leader with someone who was not his wife. From Paris, reams of numbers and names representing financial intelligence on criminal enterprises. They moved so fast they seemed like a million columns of Sudoku delivered at hyperspeed. From China, there was clandestine intelligence on a possible coup against the country's leadership. From thousands of federally funded intelligence fusion centers spread across the United States, flowed information on suspicious activities being carried out either by Americans or by foreigners operating domestically. From the Five Eye allies, United States, Britain, Canada, Australia, and New Zealand, a compilation of top secret communications, all of colossal importance. And on it poured, from all corners of the globe, delivered en masse in high definition. If it were an Xbox or PS3 game, it would be the most exciting and difficult one ever created. But there was nothing made up about it. Here, real people lived and real people died every second of every day. This exercise was known in the topmost echelon of the intelligence community as the Wall. The man hunched over the metal table was small and lean. His skin was light brown, his hair short and black, and plastered to his small skull. His eyes were large and red from the tears. He was 31 years old, but looked like he had aged 10 years in the last 4 hours.
"Please,